Welcome to episode 800 of Frankin Podcast.
We did it.
We did it, Sarah. We knew we could and we did.
Yeah. I love it.
No problem. Either, okay.
800.
Let's do the cheer again.
Yeah. I like that woman who goes, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, that's like she.
That's like
a brainiac for sure. How are you? What are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing well. I am thinking about my weekend plans, and Mike Birbiglia is in town this weekend. Should I go see him?
Definitely.
Right? And there are tickets that are like pretty reasonable. I think I'm going to just go see him.
Do it.
Here's my one thing that I'm sort of sensitive to. Comedy that's all about being a parent right now.
Is that
I'm kind of rolling the dice that? And no, I'm just wondering because, you know, it could go sometimes he has like a theme for his show.
That's a very good point.
And I did not think that it would be, and maybe it's just because this is new, but I have like a whole new take on like a sensitivity to people in different situations. Like, you know, I the amount of times I've been asked, like, are you pregnant or nursing? Are you, you know, for whatever it may be. And I'm like, no. Or like people are talking about, we're going on this like trip with some other friends and they're like trying to have a baby on the trip. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, let's make a baby. And I'm like, okay, you guys are doing that, but we're not doing that over here ever. And, you know, it just, so I'm a little like, what's it going to be about? And if it's all about like his having a, being a parent and all that, I'm just like not super into that right now.
Yeah. And there's no way to know because, you know, his special was about aging and sort of mortality. But I know that it's a totally new set now.
Yeah. So
you could go on Reddit. They
I was thinking maybe going on and doing a little bit of research first. But,
he's a guaranteed great show.
Yeah. I've been just really into comedy lately. And you know, having all the laughs because you've been recommending some great ones to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like
so into it. Last week I went to two back-to-back nights, Lee and Morgan.
Oh, yay!
Yeah. Like a total lunatic. I was like,
and it was two different venues. Twice.
It was so weird. I've never heard of that where a comic does like the same city, but two different venues.
I've never heard of that either.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, I consider her to be one of the greats. And I know that sounds silly since she just sort of became big recently, but it's like watching a masterclass. Like I had a notebook.
It's so good. She's so good.
I was like writing because I didn't want to forget certain things and ideas and she's
I think
just
you
so
do
good.
Need to see if you love a comedian. I think there is value in seeing them two times in a row. I mean, I like back to back nights. That makes me appreciate the humor, and then I have a hard time remembering the jokes. Not like you need to remember all of them, but I like to, I don't know, remember what it was that made me laugh. I always leave and go, "What was that thing that they said that was so funny?" And
And this was the same set that I saw with you in Denver. So this is my third viewing of that hour, and it doesn't get old for me.
No,
it
evolves. You can
so
like
much.
See how they changed it a little bit.
Yeah,
I love that. She's so great,
impressive. It was a hoot. I took Peg, my mom, the first night, and that's another thing. When it's a clean comedian, it really does allow for so much more, like because there's no problem if you bring a kid or a parent or whatever. It's just like, and it's genuinely funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, comedy, good for the soul. It really does do good like a medicine. It's just the fact.
It does. It's facts.
Yeah.
It feels so good to laugh.
It sure does, Sarah. That's why we like this show.
Right.
I always
laughing and learning.
Yeah. I always leave our recording like chuckling later about stuff you said.
Always. And just like a comedy show, I forget the funny things. And then like the clips will come out later and I'm like, oh my God, that was so funny.
Yeah, we're lucky we get to do this for a living.
Yes.
So thanks for 800 episodes, everybody.
Yes.
You guys are the best. Okay, well, spring has sprung. Let's get into it here.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to know, first of all, since you are such a big fan of the, you know, scripted NIAID Netflix movie.
Yes.
If you watched the documentary that came
out. No, I saw that it came out, but I have been busy and distracted. I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of TV this week.
Put that in your queue because I watched it because, you know, I wasn't going to watch the scripted one. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
But
oh my God, but it's so good.
I know. Everyone loves it. But it just, it's distracting to me because I think, well, did that really happen? Or, you know,
yeah,
because they take liberties and that's okay. But I really want to know the facts, you know. But okay, so here's what I wanted to ask you about it. And we sort of touched upon this when you mentioned the Jodie Foster movie version.
Yeah.
But I do want to revisit it. Okay. So obviously she's like outstanding, just exceptional athlete. If you haven't seen it or don't know her story, she's this amazing swimmer who was going from Florida to freaking Cuba or whatever the heck.
Yeah.
And the only people who had successfully done it had done it in those shark cages.
Yeah.
So she was like doing this
unassisted
open water, like a lunatic. Right.
Crazy.
I will never be able to be like, oh, I can see why you'd do that. Never.
No.
Okay.
Just like their skin when they come out of the water. Like, what do you know what your foot looks like when you've been in the bathtub for an hour?
Right. Cause what was it like?
50 something out
ever.
more
it's gazillion hours,
a bajillion, the most hours.
And she comes out and she does not look happy.
She looks like
she
a newborn
she
baby.
Like does.
You know how they have that colostrum or whatever that stuff is that's on mm-hmm. them, that white stuff, that is what you look like when
yeah
you
and
get
sort of like a shade of blue.
Yes,
very cold.
Like you haven't seen oxygen
mm-hmm.
for hours.
So I'm at once watching this, just astounded at her determination, her athletic ability, stamina. Mm-hmm. I mean, just mesmerizing.
Yeah.
But yet, I also thought the only difference between her and that guy who tried to go in a hamster wheel across the ocean is a hamster wheel.
You're so right.
And we ripped him to shreds.
We destroyed him. Okay, here's the difference, though. I feel like hamster wheel dude didn't follow the right steps to do this. He was just like, I'm going to pop in a hamster wheel, and here I go. And that guy definitely needs to be rescued. She had... the Coast Guard involved. She had nautical experts involved. She has people who are there. Are in the movie, they make it appear like it's just one boat, but there are really like three boats with them. There are multiple boats that are traveling, like because people have to work in shifts. This is like a crew and a team. I think it's more regulated and more structured.
You're right about that.
Guy.
That's a very good point, Sarah.
Yeah.
But in a way, that makes me more annoyed because, like, all these people have to like get involved and help this lady do this stupid thing. It's not stupid, I know. It's like special or whatever. But like, it's sort of stupid.
This is Suze. I have been thinking about this a lot recently, and not this exact subject, like this her. But
like
the
pushing
idea,
the boundaries.
Yes. Because there was recently
the
a
ultra
BMX
marathoner.
Rider.
Oh.
Yeah, the ultra marathon.
Yeah.
The woman who raced the ultra marathon who just won. There was a woman who just won a race that they said men, they've never seen a woman finish. And she finished with like 99 seconds to spare. It was great. It was very inspiring. Especially she did it right in front of the guy who created the race who said women can't do this. And then she like collapsed right in front of him and she proved him wrong and it was magical. But then there was a BMX rider who recently died in a trick, performing a trick. And I think about all of those, like when you have, and when I watched the Shaun White documentary, anytime these athletes get to these places where they're pushing themselves to extremes, they end up having this whole like team, or it takes a whole team to kind of support somebody in doing those things. And is that, this is what I was asking myself, like, cause part of me is like, why the fuck do we do this? Like, this seems insane. And then it feels like a branch of, I don't know, like the evolutionary push forward of a civilization, of like a species in a way, that our job is to kind of like push and test the bounds of what we're capable of doing. And some people are more into doing that in, we are like accepting of that when people are pushing the bounds in like medical research and testing. And we accept it when they're pushing the bounds as far as like, I don't know, new thoughts of mental health or spirituality, whatever it may be. But then we like look at the ones who are pushing the limits physically. We're like, ah, stop doing that. Definitely don't do that. That's insane. So is this just kind of part of the human, I don't know,
like urge, some sort of like compulsion?
Yeah. Like drive.
Right. I mean, maybe. And there's nothing wrong with it. If you're not hurting anyone, you're not breaking any laws, you freaking love it for some reason, knock yourself out and everything. But
literally.
Yeah. But I suppose it, everything from like collecting salt and pepper shakers to, you know, running 200 miles for no reason is all seeking meaning, I suppose. Right? This is
That is what that is.
Yeah. It's filling up your soul. But for some reason, we give this version more like applause.
Yeah.
When it's, I just feel like it's always self-serving at the end of the day.
Well, definitely.
You know, whether it's to deal with some trauma or.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would bet most of the people who, this is going to be a hot take and people are not going to like this.
We're on a roll with those.
I know I am. I give no fucks.
We're in dark places. Okay? Yeah.
Right. Join us. Would you? What was I talking about? People who.
Like seeking meaning. And.
Oh yes. That it's self-serving. At the end of the day, it's self-serving. I would imagine that the traits of narcissism are high in these individuals.
Yeah. There's
and
no
different
doubt.
Kinds, you know, whether it's the kind where you feel like inferior and you have to keep proving and showing up. And it's not always a bad thing. And I say traits of narcissism, not like they are narcissists.
No.
They are narcissists. I recently heard, it was on another podcast, but this woman gave this great analogy. She said, if I show up to your house with an egg, I didn't bring you a cake. It's not a cake. So if you show up with like a few symptoms of things, you're not all one thing. So this it may be like the eggs and the butter and the flour for narcissism.
And the bowl.
But,
and I'm just joking.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that because it's a different kind of person. Like that person is probably not going to be the one who's going to be the best like caregiver and show up.
They're but maybe.
Maybe for sure. But like they might be somebody who has been very, has made effort to put their goals first, which is a great thing. It's how they accomplish wonderful things. It's like nobody could do Serena Williams could not be the kick-ass athletes they are if they didn't say, these are my goals and I want to put these above these other things.
I think that we kind of touched upon what you're describing when we were talking about the deepest breath and that woman who was in the documentary doing the solo dives. It wasn't just that she made this choice like this was her hobby or her passion. It was compulsion. Like she couldn't not do it, like an addiction.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means that it's maybe not as like noble and sort of like praiseworthy as we often do it. Cause I think we're often thinking, I could never do that. So that's so impressive.
Uh-huh.
When yeah, really, this is just someone who things, can't right. not do it.
And there are the people, those people who are the helpers, like people who are nurses, firefighters, who are like, I can't not do this. This is my calling. I don't care that I get treated the way that this is. And we do not look at them in the same way. Maybe some people do. I do. I look at teachers and nurses and I go, wow, you guys are so self-sacrificing. It's amazing. And they are in
positions where they're
putting
service.
Other people first. Yeah. Yeah. And we don't clap for that as much as we clap for like Feats teacher of the year doesn't make the magazine cover, even right. though I know people who are teachers of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's Shout just interesting to talk about it. Nobody's doing anything wrong. It's just weird and fascinating.
Yeah.
Cause yeah. she was so freaking charismatic, this NIAID lady. Like there's just something about her.
I bet that's how she got her
yeah.
sponsors. That's how it's just this, she has this, or at least how it came off and in the clips that I've seen of her, this drive and determination that, yeah, it's relentless. It's like, I have to do this.
That's how I feel about ordering wild grain bread.
Suze, I had an experience recently.
Oh no, good.
I was very, very disappointed. Not in wild grain bread.
Okay.
But I went to the grocery store and I've been so accustomed to these wonderful
yeah.
loaves of bread that I went and I got some French, like a loaf of French bread. Civilian bread from the, but like, you know, baked at their bakery. This thing was like not, Great British Bake Show would have been like, boo.
Wow.
Thumbs down. It was totally under like proofed. It was mushy. And I was like, why? And it was more expensive
yeah.
than if I would have ordered it.
That's right.
Well, it's just because I was out. I went through my box
too
quick.
Judge you. Yeah. I mean, listen, I get it. We're spoiled now.
Yeah.
But you could be spoiled too, because these loaves, the pasta, the pastries, the bread, they come to you frozen. You bake them up whenever you want them for dinner or for a meal. And they taste like bakery bread, but better than, apparently.
Way better.
It's just so good. And it makes meals easy too, because you have it on hand and you just pop it in and it's ready to go at 25 minutes or something. No thawing required or anything crazy. You don't have to plan ahead. For a limited time, you get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/braincandy to start your subscription. You heard us. Free croissants in every box. $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/braincandy. That's wildgrain.com/braincandy. Or you can use promo code braincandy at checkout. What did you do about that bad loaf? You just dealt with it internally?
You know what I did? I scraped the inside of it out because it was so like...
That's terrible.
It was like not... It almost felt raw on the inside, so I just scraped it out, and then it was almost like a
That's
hollowed
a real
out
bummer.
Sandwich. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
well, deepest condolences. That I did want to mention though, that ultra marathoner that we were talking about. What a fascinating character!
Like, do you know about her?
I do. I didn't know what you were saying about how like the organizer of the ultra marathon, like, poo-pooed women. I didn't know that part.
Oh, yeah. I saw, there's a clip of him. He's like an old guy with a beard. And he was like,
let me guess, white?
Oh, please, of course.
Right. I know.
And he's like, you know, I, this isn't something women could do. I've never seen women do it. I'll believe it when I see it. It's very like skeptical. He's like,
God,
I don't think they have the,
like
I don't think they have what it takes to do it. That kind of talk.
I just, that's really something. But she makes it like it's no big whoop. That's what's crazy to me. Like, you know how with NIAID or what most of them, it's like they have to plan ahead. It's regimented. Right. And then I'm going to eat like 1 ounce of oats and 1 ounce of egg or whatever. And they have to plan every detail. And this lady's like, yeah, I usually have a pizza beforehand. And then I'm like, that's even
her.
More amazing to me.
Yes.
She's like nonchalant.
She did look like regular.
I know.
Like, she didn't have that look. Sometimes ultra marathoners look like they've, like, never stopped running a marathon their whole life.
Yeah. And they don't seem happy. I got to be honest.
And she just looks like somebody who likes to hike outside. I was I was like, can I do this? This is my toxic trait, is that I see somebody complete something that is so grueling and so difficult. And I've done just enough in the challenges to be like, yeah, I could probably do that. I should probably sign up. It's fine.
Hey, I would tell you this, of anyone I know, I would say you would be the most likely to be able to do it. because like the way she described her mental technique, I was like, because she frames it as all mind over matter.
Oh, it is.
Which is what they all do and so annoying because it's free and not. Anyway, but here's what she said she does. She calls it the pain cave. She says the pain cave is the place that she goes in her head when she feels like she physically can't take another step, and that she visualizes herself with like a chisel and everything and like chisels out this cave in her mind.
This is very good. This is a good technique.
And then she like goes into the pain cave, and I guess it's nice in there or something. I don't know. And then, I mean, what goes on in the pain cave? Question mark.
It sounds just like pain, but I guess not pain.
Yeah, she should rename it. But she says that she enters the cave, and then that she does it because, you know, your body's saying stop, but she knows she can go longer. But the problem with this is that one of the times she went into the pain cave, she like whited out and had no vision for 10 miles.
Wait, what?
Like how she became a blind person.
How are you even moving?
And why wouldn't that be okay, maybe it's not mind over matter. I'm literally blind.
Right. That's how I felt when in NIAID, when she starts to hallucinate and her trainer says, you have to go with the hallucinations to anybody else's work. Like if I started to hallucinate ever, I'm changing that course and I'm walking myself right into the nearest psychiatric hospital. But that's 5150.
It really is like drugs. Like we were saying, this is an addiction. It's a high. Because who has hallucinations? Mentally ill people, sure. But also people on fucking mushrooms.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And she says like one time eels were flying through the air and hitting her head. And she has to tell herself, who am I going to meet on my run today? Like they're her friends.
Oh, golly. Okay, now I can't do it. Because as soon as I meet eels around my head, I'm like, fuck it. I'm out. Where's the picnic?
I know. I love how I started this by being like, she seems so normal. And then I'm like, she sees eels and thinks they're a friend.
I mean, these are real techniques for overcoming.
For sure.
You know, like if we've talked about this on the show, that when you look at the extremes of things can help us in like the not so extreme areas. So looking at the techniques and tools that somebody uses to get through really difficult things, I think can be really helpful.
Yes.
To like, how could I use this to like fold my laundry?
Yeah. You know what? And the way she speaks about it is on that level. It's not like anyone can do this. She's just saying like, I think everybody could stand to raise their bar of discomfort a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And I would have to agree with her about that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to run this stupid thing. No. But I do agree that, like, you know what? You could do more than you think.
That is for sure.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. And my God, tell those boys to kick rocks.
Please. This is the season of the ladies, of women's sports. It is here.
It sure is.
I thought at first it was just my algorithm. I was like, a few weeks ago, I were talking about it on here. And I'm like, maybe it started with the women's hockey. And I'm like, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just because they know. I host this very, like, women-centric podcast.
Yeah.
This is my kink, yes. Mm-hmm. And no, even NBA players, even sports analysts, the women's basketball March Madness tickets are going for 6 times the price of the men's.
That's amazing.
And the top three, out of the top 5 earners, the top 3 are women.
Man. Yeah. Wait.
Yeah. Woo!
Woo, 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 woo! For sure. And
it's
about
late
time.
It's night.
They've been working their buns off all this time and never got any credit.
Right.
So and it's good.
It's great. I love it. I'm so stoked for and how inspiring. Like, imagine if you were a little girl in like high school sports or you know, you're at like AYSO soccer, you're seeing all this happen. Oh, you're pumped.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I was reading about how the rule that had kind of held them back was that thing that wouldn't let college players, mm-hmm. you know, profit from mm-hmm. their name and all of that, and how that was eliminated and that opened up all these doors because these gals are real, they're brand savvy and they're smart about marketing and they were not able to be like, hey, this is fun. This is going to be a hoot. Follow me. And so that's been a real boon for women's sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this article in the New York Times that you may have seen about the hotel guest that refused to leave.
Oh, I did. I saw
this. Did you read it?
I only read a little bit of it, read the beginning of it.
I love it so much.
Tell us about it.
Okay. So this guy checked into a Manhattan hotel and his boyfriend had like just in passing mentioned that there was this weird real estate loophole in Manhattan that had been enacted decades ago that said that certain hotels that had existed back then were basically required that if a guest requested a lease, that they could become like a permanent resident. Mm-hmm. And so he bought the room for one night for $200. And then he heard about this from his boyfriend and he went down to the front desk and was like, hey, can I get a lease? This is for a real sweet deal, whatever. And they were like, we're not doing that. And he's like, well, you have to. And they're like, yeah, well, bye-bye. And so he sued them and he, you know, used that legal loophole and then showed, you know, some court cases providing precedent. And the judge was like, yeah, I mean, fair is fair. This is technically the law.
Yeah.
So you're allowed to stay. But the way that the wording of the judgment was, they didn't say anything about like signing a lease. It didn't say any date that he had to like leave or vacate. It kept using the word possession. And he even called to the wherever, City Hall or whoever deals with it, and was like, what does that mean? And they were like, you own it. And so he was like, okay. So he tried to get a deed for that room.
Yeah.
But the hotel isn't structured that way. It's just one hotel.
Yeah.
And so he was able to get a deed eventually for the entire 1.2 million square foot building.
What?
And so that's when shit really hit the fan.
Oh my God.
But here's the fun part. This guy is, you know, that I'm totally fascinated by people who vacillate between genius and lunatic.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he is that. And like, even in the New York Times article, it would be like at one moment he'd be lucid and then the next minute he'd say he was the head of a tribe in Brazil and stuff.
Okay.
Like, but to me, okay, here's another thing. Do you ever know people who are maybe on social services like welfare or food stamps or whatever? The sort of Byzantine structure of federal government anything?
Yeah.
You have to get like a PhD in
it's insane.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Insane.
But those people become like experts.
Yes. This is the wonderful whites of West Virginia.
Yeah. Or they know every sort of like, you call this number and you say this thing and then you get this paperwork and you take it here. They know all this stuff that like an otherwise brilliant person would be lost.
Yeah.
And he's clearly that because I wouldn't know the first thing about like, who do you sue and how do you do it and what do you say? And he just did it. I mean, he doesn't have a job, so like he could just spend his time doing this. Any hoodles. In the end, I mean, it's been like 10 years or something crazy.
Wow.
And he still has only paid $200. The hotel itself is owned by the Unification Church, which is like, you know, the Moonies?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so they own the building and then they let Wyndham like run it, but they own it and they keep trying to kick this guy out. And then this guy decided the Unification Church was like funneling money to North Korea, right? He's the conspiracy theory guy.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they are. Who knows?
Oh my God.
It's always that thing where you're like, Is he crazy or is he right?
Or is he right? Because a lot of the things that I looked at my brother many years ago for and was like, you are crazy. He was fucking dead on about and is now like creating the
except
machines
for microwaves.
To like. Yeah, he was wrong and now he's right.
So, yeah. But okay, so eventually years later, they overturned like his ownership, of course, of the building.
Right.
But they said he could stay as a permanent resident still. That was upheld. But then he wouldn't sign a lease. He really liked this deal where he had only paid $200 total.
I bet.
So eventually then that was his undoing and they arrested him for fraud and stuff because he kept pretending like he owned the building and whatever.
Yeah, because the headline I saw like said that it may land him in jail. Like
That's
he only
right.
paid $223 and now he may end up in jail.
He could have just stayed there, signed a lease.
Right.
And gotten a really pretty good deal on like a little apartment. But he kind of got a taste of honey.
Yeah.
And really liked the idea that he, because he was like swinging his dick around. Like he went down to the below, they have a diner, the TikTok diner in Manhattan. And he was trying to charge them rent and stuff.
Oh, no, sir. Yeah.
Like he
got a little too big for his britches. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
But. I kind of love it. I love when someone beats the system
yes.
and then the system has to come up with like some like, oh, we're going to arrest you for like tax evasion.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And don't you think that this has got to make it so new laws are going to get passed?
Yeah. They got to sort this out.
Yeah.
I guess it's a real pickle.
I want to like look back and be like, what other laws are we? What else? Can we,
for real? I'd and like, how did like, his boyfriend know about the loophole?
Yeah,
you know who's
this would
source?
Be. I would be so mad at this and so angry if he were a straight guy.
I know,
but the fact that he's a gay guy doing this, I'm like, yeah,
beat
do
the
it.
System. System screwed you.
That's right. Run him.
I'll tell you another way to beat the system, and that is using rocket money. Am
I
right?
You were going to say that. Yes.
Because it is. Mm. I just got a message from Yoli, one of our brainiacs, and she was like, I was skeptical about all this, you know, brouhaha with rocket money, but she's like, I signed up anyway. Thank you, brainiacs, for being, you know, trusting of us.
Yeah.
And she saved a bunch of money and showed me in a thing. And it's like, yes.
Yeah.
It's a real deal.
And let me tell you, often imitated. Never duplicated because my bank is trying to do the same thing. And I'm like, not even fucking close and doesn't have any of the features or anything that I'm like, no, thank you. But I'll keep my budget over there.
Yes. Rocket Money is a personal finance app. It lets you cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitor your spending, help you lower your bills. They'll negotiate your bills for you, your cable, your insurance, whatever. I just got rigmarole through my phone provider. You know how sometimes they offer perks where you can get like a streaming service for free? It was that. So I was paying for a service I could get for free.
Yeah.
But anyway, they have over 5 million users, saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, and members save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/braincandy. That's rocketmoney.com/braincandy, rocketmoney.com/braincandy. Tell me if you've saved money, too. I like hearing about these success stories.
Yeah, we love that.
So, like, on one hand, with the guy, just wrapping it up about the hotel thing, like, on one hand, it annoys me because it's like, stop being weird. Just, like, get an apartment.
Just pay rent.
But on the other hand, like, businesses get away with so much.
Oh, my God, so much.
You know? And it's always like... You know how we joke about bank error in your favor, which almost never happens?
Yep.
And so whenever it's like, hey, there's this, they didn't think of this, and you're able to take advantage of it, I mean, I kind of respect it.
Yeah, I do too. Respect.
We'll see what happens with him. I hope he doesn't. Maybe he would like prison. It's free, room and board.
Right.
Who knows? Okay, moving on. This was just today I saw in the news. You know, I mean, some people are like,
no, I don't like the outfits. Yeah. That's it. Or else I'd be all in.
This was just in the news today. Did you see how Kim Kardashian's being sued by an artist's foundation?
No, tell me.
Okay, so there was this video on
YouTube. But I love this too.
Me too. I mean, yes. Let's do the cheering
again.
Eat
the rich.
Okay, so there's an artist named Donald Judd who creates these, they're not even cute, these like tables that basically look like, what are those things? Palette?
Yeah, okay.
It looks like that.
Okay.
But a table.
Got it.
And he's deceased, but his foundation still manages his estate and all that. And she had done a YouTube video a few years ago where she said, like, her office, here's my Donald Judd table, and look at these chairs, and look how cool it is. I love a minimalist. And she's, like, super into furniture right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so it turned out that it was not a Donald Judd table.
Oh!
It was bought through this company. What's it called? Crescent? Clements House. Clements House. And she bought it through them. And it's not as if they said it was a Donald Judd. She knew that this was like a fake. And on the receipt, it said Donald Judd style. So like they're purposefully
separating it from, but saying it's a knockoff. This is a replica, like design within reach style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even just acknowledging it, like,
wow,
which is so stupid of them to put that on there. Cause the foundation is mad at the furniture place, and the furniture place is now being like, what? No, it's a coincidence. It's not even similar. But on the receipt, they called it that.
Oh, yeah.
But then they asked her.
When you say style, that makes sense. I know what they're saying.
I think, what is the sort of legal line between, you know, like when a place knocks off a little Etsy designer, Target will use their design, and it's, you know, plagiarism or whatever the design equivalent of that is.
Yeah.
Versus just sort of like, this is a modernist style or whatever. Because
there's something about like it's 10%, has to be like 10% different or something like that. There's an actual measurement to it.
This isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks exactly the same. But I just love that they just wanted her to, take it down, the video, and then issue a statement saying sorry or whatever, acknowledging it.
Yeah.
And she didn't, so now she's being sued.
Oh, well, I think that she should be for that.
Yeah, come on.
Especially when they issue the statement and say, like, when you have that platform and when you have that reach, it does matter. And I hate the inauthentic everything of the Kardashians. Like I saw a bit ago, it was, I think Khloe Kardashian has a cat named, I think it's called like Blue Kitty or something like that. And people believe that she like face-tuned the cat.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and that's a fucking face-tuned cat.
I know.
And I was like, what kind of... I think about this, like where is your mind when you think?
I love that question.
I need to, where is your mind?
Where is your mind?
Yeah. Where is it? When you're like, I think I need to make this look better. I think I need to project. It speaks to projecting an image that is different than what it actually is, which is exactly what that table bullshit is.
Okay, so let me ask you this though, and I'm not expecting you to know. I just wish someone would tell me, because like, why is her claim that it's authentic even a problem? Let's say I have a pretend Prada bag. Maybe like owning a knockoff that I bought in Chinatown is illegal. Maybe that's illegal. But why is me saying it's Prada?
Oh, something. This is a very good point.
Like, what is that, defamation? Like, what is it?
I mean, maybe. Is that?
I didn't see what they were suing her for.
This is interesting.
Like misrepresentation?
if how is that not allowed? Right.
Her whole life is that.
I mean, hello. Like, right. A lot of people are guilty of that then.
Wait till they hear about her entire show.
Right.
Like, what's real?
Or a lot
about
of her body parts.
Yeah. So. I just was confused about, like, okay, what are they suing for exactly?
Yeah, like, I'm totally for it. But
yeah, we support you.
I support. Yeah, like eat the rich. Let's fucking do it. But I don't know what the lawsuit would be.
Well, whatever it is, we wish you the best, Donald Judd Foundation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would be pissed if I were an artist, though, and like, especially, I'll say this last little bit. A lot of those artists in those really high levels. And I learned this after watching our documentary, they will hand select the people who get these items and they don't want it going just anywhere. And yeah. That where the art lives does a lot to change the value and the relationship we have with that art. So mm-hmm. Art being associated with Kim Kardashian, if you have a whole like... I could see that being like, no, whoa, 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 whoa. No. We did not approve that. That is not approved. You are not on the list.
Yeah, because in their statement, it said just that. It said, Kim Kardashian is fine and you do you. We support you doing you. But like, we don't want anything to do with you.
Right.
So this is like
it's a blemish on like the art house.
Yeah.
I'm on their side.
Yeah.
Totally.
I guess I just didn't realize there was anything you could sue for, but
yeah,
so be it. Yeah. It did strike me because our March Candy Club is all about art. So like, I do have that idea on my mind and how like all those concepts are so out of my wheelhouse, but it's fun to learn.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When you can't afford the $1 million pieces, it's funny how you don't really learn about their buying and selling of these goods. But if you want to know about those Target bags, I can tell you everything you need to know.
Right. We know all the Target collaborations.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Moving on.
Good story. Well, good story.
Before I move on, I'll talk about my favorite collaboration, which is Susie and Caraway.
This is your favorite collab.
It really is, actually. I love them so much. This cookware, I guess people probably listen and think like, how good can it be?
Well, did I talk about how my aunt came over and I gave her the demo because she was listening to the show?
She's a believer.
You want to come over to our house, guys. We'll give you the demo.
We really should. They should hire us to like go out.
Be like traveling saleswomen. Just like, So it sounds like another job, Susie.
Well, because the thing is that they're non-toxic and non-stick. Usually you have to pick a lane. I hate that because I want both. And so now I'm living the dream. And it really is amazing for baking so that things just slide right out. Or cooking, like a frying pan is a must-have. If you're going to pick one piece.
Yeah, that's what I chose.
That's what I would go
with. Get the frying pan.
Your
eggs will never... be the same.
Neither will your life. I'm telling you. Visit carawayhome.com/braincandy to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/braincandy or use code braincandy at checkout. Caraway non-toxic cookware made modern. My mom sent my sister a text that just said like wish list, and then it just said Caraway frying pan, and my sister was like, I didn't even ask. Like, I wasn't saying like, do you have any suggestions for gifts?
Just unsolicited wish list. I should just send that to people.
I don't blame her. I don't judge.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is a little darker, but we don't shy away from hard topics.
No.
Did you see, I'm sure you did in The Atlantic, the article about genealogy and the what it's exposed regarding incest?
Oh God, I didn't click on but I didn't click on it because I was like, of course. This is the problem with overturning fucking Roe v. Wade. I'm sorry, but when you take away people's ability to terminate unwanted pregnancies, you have children that are the result of unwanted pregnancies who then learn about how they came to be and how that pregnancy came about.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
All of that.
Well, and you know, I'm sure this isn't going to come as a surprise to any of our listeners or you, but it's this thing of like things that women say are often downplayed or acted like it's like rare, you know, this sort of like that hardly ever happens. Mm-hmm. And in like the 70s, we were told the chances of incest were 1 in a million, right?
I'll tell you that's incorrect.
Yeah, that this is like, I mean, hardly ever happening, right? And so then when... this is what baffles me. They know men.
This? Are they talking to other humans?
This is what I don't get.
I'm so mad right now.
I mean, this is kind of like off topic, but it's like tangentially related. But like whenever men stick up for men who've been like accused of assault, I always think like they've been in locker rooms. Like they know what men are like when we're not around.
Right.
I don't know how they could question.
Right. Be so shocked.
Yes. It's everywhere. This is like who they are.
Right.
So I don't know where they came up with that number, but a group of feminist scholars in like the 80s, having done interviews with women, said that is grossly undercalculating the numbers. But then there was no tangible data until the genealogy boom, when people were finding out what was cooking in their bodies. And so... the weird thing for me is, I guess I'm not familiar with how all these companies work, but like none of them are telling their customers specifically that they are a product of incest.
Right. They'll say that you have a 50% genetic match with this individual.
It was weird though in the article. It sounded like maybe it was couched in wording that like a normal person wouldn't realize the implication unless they use this third party to go deeper and understand their DNA in greater detail. But anyway, so when they were getting these, you know, the info, they were being told to talk to this lady. One DNA company was saying, you need to contact this person and she'll give you some more insight. And so it was like her job to get on the phone and be like, here's the scoop.
Break the news.
Yeah. And so like all these people are finding out that either their mom, their biological mom's dad was their father or the brother. It's almost always the dad or the older brother.
Right. Right.
And I mean, just like if what that would be like to hear.
For so many reasons.
For so many reasons.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to attend a family gather. Like it would be, you'd have to do so much fucking work.
And then, so then they find out and they, you know, human beings often have a yearning to connect with a biological relative.
Right.
For whatever reason, evolutionarily or whatever. And then, of course, they reach out, but they understand that, like, the mom probably doesn't want to turn that rock over. And so then it maybe re-traumatizes this woman, you know? And but then the person has this desire to connect and... it's such a sad story, but I want to say just, you know, if anyone's listening that is in that position, like I understand why they have those layered feelings of like shame and disgust and anger and all the emotions that you can imagine, but like, I don't know. I don't think you should be punished for the sins of your parents.
Absolutely not. And that's why I say they need to. It's going to take work because they need to work with a therapist who's going to help them understand that this is in no way their fault and not doesn't define who they are.
Mm-hmm.
As all sexual assault.
It does.
Because this is another victim of that sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they were saying, like, you know, oftentimes there are no sort of big medical issues,
mm-hmm.
but they do have a greater likelihood of birth defects and health challenges. And in the case of the person they were describing in the article, he had a heart murmur, and then he had to have open heart surgery at the age of 13 and then again at the age of 18.
Jeez.
And who knows? There's no way of knowing
whether
that was a direct result of their parentage, but it's like, it matters.
We do know that when you combine genetics that are too close, it doesn't result.
Yeah, man, trouble's brewing.
Right. It doesn't allow for the diversification of genes.
I mean, do you think like these companies that offer this service, I'm sure that they knew all the possible outcomes, but like it's really changed everything.
Yeah.
Because imagine if you had an unwanted pregnancy.
Mm.
And imagine you have to make the choice about, well, knowing that you could be found could change whether you want to keep it or not, right?
Right, right.
And these are things that the people in like the 60s or whenever did not know.
No, it was just like anonymous, who cares? It'll be like, nobody will ask any questions.
It's complicated.
It's very complicated.
And
it's not even like all of this genetic research came about and you can say, okay, from here on out, all these people are going to be, able to use this. This is used on, like you said, people from the city. It's like retroactive, you know?
Yeah.
And that is, really messy.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
There was another article in the Atlantic, but it was a separate piece about adoption. And it was written by Steve Inskeep, who is the NPR host. I love that guy. He's just salt of the earth. But he was adopted, and then he adopted a daughter. And so he was talking about this new law. I think it's specifically in Illinois. And I think it was, is that where Mike Pence is from? Indiana. And he signed into law that allowed for you as the adoptee can access your birth records unless there is like already an objection on file. So if nobody has filed an objection, you get access to these documents. I mean, that is progress.
Yeah, it feels very basic that we should have access to our
birth records. Well, we saw in that documentary, Three Identical Strangers, that the secrecy around adoptions has been so toxic.
And even when I was going, when I changed my name back to Rice from my married name, I needed my birth certificate. I needed a record of live birth. And I had to get that from the county I was born in, from the hot, like, from the records. If you can't get that, you're fucked for a lot of things.
I'm speaking out of ignorance, but I believe that in those cases, they have some sort of surrogate paperwork that's accepted.
They've got it.
But that isn't doesn't say the name of the mother, doesn't say the name of the father, all that stuff. And it's so messed up that, like, the government knows who you are and you don't.
That is fucked up.
Fucked up. I would be so mad.
Oh.
And that these, like, gatekeepers, these old school marms are, I would be, like, slipping those papers right under.
Boop. Yeah, here
That's why I don't work for anyone. I have to just work in my house.
That's why Susie's my boss.
It's because it feels so wrong.
Yeah, that's letter of the law versus spirit of the law kind of bullshit.
I bet you didn't expect to hear me kudoing Mike Pence today.
No, but did not have that on my bingo card.
I got to say, when someone does the right thing, I will say good job.
Yeah.
Let me see if I have one last thing. Okay.
Oh my God, this.
I know,
Sarah. This episode flew by.
It's because this is our happy place.
Oh, I thought we were like 20 minutes in. I'm still clapping from the intro.
Yeah. 800.
I was hoping you'd do it again.
Okay, there was this fun story in Atlas Obscura that was about these.
I love that.
Professors from the early 20th century, female, both female. And they, okay, let me click the link because I want to describe it perfectly. So these hookers claimed that they went to Paris just for like a fun trip. And let me paint the picture. One was like a principal of a university, a head of a university, and one was like trying to get the job after she left. And so they're like doing this sort of professional thing. But I get the feeling that they were like smooching.
Oh,
let me put it that way. They were very close friends, evidently.
Got it.
Okay. Because I just love the idea that these were like two leses being like, being hilarious. Okay. They said that they went to France and were, you know, sightseeing and stuff. And then they went by train and walked through rooms and galleries of this the Palace of Versailles. And that the day got weird and that they started to explore the gardens. And then they had like this really weird feeling of like sadness, like melancholy haze that came over them. And they started to encounter people wearing strange attire. And they saw two men dressed in these weird gray coats and like three-cornered hats. And then they saw this lady that was like wearing like old-fashioned clothes.
Uh-huh.
And then they found their way out of the garden, returned to their hotel. And then like, it was just weird. And then later they returned and everything was different. And it was like, everything was modern. And they claimed that they slipped through this like time warp thing.
They've been watching a lot of Outlander, these lesbians.
Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
For real. Okay. So they came back and they wrote the story of this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a huge hit, like a huge bestseller. But they couldn't reveal their identities because they were women and no one would believe them or whatever. But it kind of like Whisper Network, it got out that it was these ladies. And in this article, it says that because they were women, they like may have felt self-conscious because they didn't have like maybe one of them didn't have like the credentials in academia they were denied equal respect or whatever. It says it's possible that the two women could have turned to alternative means of establishing authority at a time when interest in spiritualism was at its height. So we don't know, like, did they make it up? Did they have this like weird fever dream? Like what really happened?
What year was this?
Well, 1901, according to this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. 1901 makes me believe it more.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Like, you think maybe they really did have this weird...
Fucking A, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do I know? We don't know shit. Remember when we thought aliens weren't real? We don't know anything. Please.
Okay,
Time travel? Question mark?
I love an open mind.
Yeah. And there's this book that just came out on time. I can't remember what it's called now. But both Eli and my brother have read it. My brother said he read it 15 times.
Oh.
Because he said it will change your, it will like open up your mind on our, how we conceptualize time.
We're going to have to get a title on that.
I'm going to find it.
Yeah, you got to find out. Because like, yeah. If you're telling me.
I know, I'll look at, we have a shared.
Hookers slip through a time
Libya.
Continuum or whatever the heck. Well, because like you're saying, I don't know what, I'm not going to be arrogant enough to say like, they're definitely making this up, but I, either way, I'm psyched because either they made it up because they were like capitalizing on this spiritualist, you know, moment culturally. And we're like, let's, you know, bamboozle these people and have a good time. Great. I love that. Or they really did time travel and that's good fun too.
This the order win-win. Of time, Carlo Rovelli.
Order of time.
Yes. Okay. And this is by the man who is the person who, oh, what the fuck is the guy's name who did Tenet and Oppenheimer?
Christopher Nolan.
This
and
is
Interstellar.
And Interstellar, for fuck's sake. I should know. I mean, come on.
Biggest fan over there.
Nolan. Like, I'm like, yeah, he's fine. But that movie, he consults this guy. He's one of like the leading physicists right now.
Okay.
And it's amazing. It is going to, he wrote 7 Brief Lessons on Physics. And it's like mind blowing. Okay. So I feel like
you're thinking maybe there's something cooking.
Yeah.
Okay.
That time is really just a
construct.
Something that, that marks change.
Hmm. Okay.
And that we don't really know how all of it works in a way.
I mean, it is fun.
That's very fun.
That seems to be the case.
And I don't know. I always love those pictures that people find where they're like, it looks like somebody in a painting's holding a cell phone.
Yeah.
And they're like old timey photos or something for me. I love that shit. I am totally like the, I want to believe, I don't know anything. Who
yeah.
knows?
There's it one really good one, that I saw and I was watching a YouTube video about, and he was old. He was in the correct time period, but it did, if you looked at him, you think, wow, that looks like a guy right now.
Right.
And that's so just crazy. Fun. Because
so cool.
If nothing else, it makes you realize that these aren't like, you know, exotic. These are the same kind of people who are like doofuses just like us.
Right.
Just living there, you know.
Could be that.
Because it's when it looks different, it's hard to connect sometimes.
Yeah.
Whether that's like current day, like if you don't look like me, maybe I don't understand you, but also like people from back in the day.
Wow. And the fact that the mood, there was like a vibe that I think is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting story. I want to read into
that. Okay. Let me just get saying, what do you think the odds are that they made it up?
Okay. I'm going to go 90%.
Okay, that they made it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 10% that either they had some sort of experience that was weird or that they freaking time traveled.
And ripple in time shit. Wrinkle in time, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Even maybe lower, but like.
But it's fun.
Yeah. Even if it were a 1% chance, okay? Well, there's still a 1% chance that. You know, I don't know, based on nothing.
I think it would be so cool if you were the person who experienced that.
Yeah.
It'd probably be frustrating because no one would believe you, but it would make you, it would be so fascinating.
And the fact that they both had it.
Which either makes it.
I know. I know. It could go either way. It's either like confirming or deny.
Right. Yeah. Because if it were just one, we'd assume like she's.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
But her and her friend are like, no, this is, what's up with this?
Yeah. But either it's real or they're connivers, and I love it either way.
Yeah.
Thank you again to all the people that use our codes. If you want to look one up, they're on thebraincandypodcast.com. We post all the video versions of the episodes on YouTube now, and so you can enjoy those. And leave us a review, because I get really sad when I see a bad one. Leave us 5 stars.
You see bad ones?
Sometimes, Sarah.
Oh.
It hurts.
Yeah.
5 stars,
I hate it when
please.
They like 1 star, it'll be for something that's like...
unrelated.
Totally like, I'm like, really? All the other stuff? Like that? Okay, 4 stars, I understand. But like, 1, please. You know how shitty something has to be for me to give it
like
a 1-star
rave review with a 1 star, and I'm like, I don't think they know how stars work.
Right, I don't think so either.
So please help us out here. Yeah. We love you. See you next
time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.